Fail Better Premium. At the end of each episode, you hear a snippet of my thoughts about the interview. Premium subscribers get a little deeper understanding every week, right here. Okay, this could be dangerous because I'm waking up the morning after talking to Brad Gilbert and just getting down my thoughts before coffee. That's the dangerous part. Yeah, you know, it was really nice to have somebody from the world of sport, as they say, tennis, weigh in on this, on the idea of failure. Because when I had the podcast idea, I'd figured that sports was going to play a pretty big role in this podcast because, you know, sports is the one area where we have kind of baked in the notion of success and failure. And it's a you know, cyclical kind of a reality in sports. You know, you win some, you lose some. That's it, exactly, right? So it aside from being interesting to talk about with respect to failure and success, it's also how we as children learn how to deal with success and failure, with wins and losses. I mean, it creates a safe place. It should be a safe place. I mean, I was out there with my kid. Things are different now than when I was a kid. There were hardly, my parents saw maybe, you know, my mother came to one basketball game when I scored my 1,000th point, and my parents were split at that point. My dad maybe came to one or two baseball games. So, where was I going with that? No, when my kids were playing, when my daughter was playing softball and my son was playing baseball, we went to every game and the parents went to every game. And sometimes I think that's wonderful and sometimes I think it sucks because for me, sports was all mine. My parents had no ego involved in that. My mom, I think she was happy that I was playing sports, that I was out of the house for a little longer. My dad was gone at that point. He didn't have the male ego involved in whatever sports accomplishments I was going to have. I'm sure he enjoyed watching me enjoy myself, but, you know, there wasn't this kind of I'm with you every step of the way, son, business that seems to be happening now. Blah, David, see? I mean, maybe it's the coffee that focuses me. Yeah, that's it. So, sports and Brad Gilbert. Yeah, so what I got from him, in a way, it's kind of what I was hoping to get and more, because he takes a very practical approach to dealing with fear of failure, what we call choking when we talk about that thing. We can choke in life. You know, it just isn't as this intensified moment, this clarified moment where we confront ourselves and our inability to rise to the moment or our fear of rising to the moment. I think in life, chokes happen over a longer time. They're like slow motion chokes. Oh my God, what a horrible concept. There's a book, The Slow Motion Choke. Ugh. So Brad's got this muscular approach to choking, to tension, to freezing, to the fear of flight. Let's call it, you know, fight or flight. And, you know, he keeps on coming back to tactics, which is kind of, that's the zen of his approach, because it grounds you in the moment, all right? So you're like, oh my God, if I lose this game, if I lose this match, then, you know, then I don't make the money, then I lose the house, and my wife and kids leave me, and then I die in the gutter, you know. Yeah, and that's how my mind goes, and that's how I think many minds go. And Brad would be there to focus you on the now, to keep your feet moving. And I think the AA stuff is very appropriate here too, because it focuses you on right action before right thinking. And that's kind of a brilliant flip, because we all think, at least I grew up thinking, like, I got to get my head straight and then my actions will be straight. And I think what people like Brad are saying, and I think what programs of responsibility like AA are saying, is, and what I talk about with Gabor, you know, it's like, awareness is just the booby prize in a way. Like, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to implement what you now know? So what we now know is that we all choke. We all have that fight or flight syndrome. You can't just think your way out of it. The parts of the brain are different. So how are we going to now, we find ourselves in that choking moment. We find ourselves in that fight or flight moment. Can't think our way out of it. The brain just doesn't work that way. It's split, right, left, whatever. They can't talk to each other in that moment because the amygdala is taking over. How do we bring that amygdala back online, in line, online? Oh, I'm using computer terminology. I'm fucked. I don't know what I'm talking about. And somebody like Brad or the program would say, you know, one foot in front of the other. I mean, literally, Brad will say, think of your feet, you know, stay on your toes. See ball, hit ball, you know, bring it back down to just simple right action, correct action. And there's a lot to be said for that. You know, when we get out of the navel gazing and we look up at the stars, when we get out of our navel gazing and we start to just step into the future one step at a time by being in the present. I mean, it's all sounds like gobbledygook right now, but there's something in there. There's something in the sports psychologist, good coach mold that just says, forget yesterday, forget tomorrow, see ball, hit ball, put one foot in front of the other. And there's a beauty in that, both in sport and in life. And I wish that I had asked Brad, I wish I would have said, okay, you're coaching me, I'm in the Wimbledon final, and you see me start to tighten up, so you know that I'm choking. What do you say to me? Well, I know you're not allowed to coach in tennis, but now we've changed the rules in this scenario, and you're allowed to come out onto the court and talk me down. What do you say to me? So I feel like I fucked up by not asking that. And that's kind of fun, and that'll give me something in the future to, you know, because these podcasts, these interviews are like tennis matches, like I talked to Brad about the Meisner technique. And as you're having these rallies, I mean, the difference is you're not trying to win. You're just trying to have the best, longest rally in the world. So you're trying to put the ball right where he wants it, but you're also trying to make him run a little bit and stretch and go for shots that he might not have gone for in other times. Not bad. It continues to be appropriate, this analogy. So moving forward, you know, just thinking about the podcast, succeeding, failing, in my estimation, which is the success of any individual podcast is the sense that I have gotten my guest to speak about the ups and downs of life, the wins and the losses, in a way that they haven't spoken of before, or maybe haven't thought of before. Because we're all kind of podcasted out at this point. It's like the new Andy Warhol thing. It's like, in the future, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. In the future, there will be no one who hasn't appeared on a podcast. So we're all, in a way, like you look at old photographs and you see before people were inured to the idea of having their photograph taken, they didn't know how to pose. They didn't create a face. They just kind of looked, I don't know, kind of blankly I had just got their photograph taken, didn't attack the photograph, didn't like give their photograph face. And now I think we have podcast thought, podcast presentation, because everybody's kind of telling their stories everywhere and they become rehearsed. Not that they're bad, and people have got, you know, great angles and great stories to tell, and they can tell them 10, 15 times, and they could still sound fresh. But I guess what I'd like, and what I'd like to happen to me during the conversation, is for me to start thinking about things in a different way and talking about them in a different way, discovering them as if for the first time. Oh, good luck.
I'll be back next week with more Fail Better Premium from Lemonada Media.